Welcome back to the Universalis podcast. I am Martin Kohinski, the creator of Universalis, and in this episode I'll be looking at the highlights of the week ahead, starting with Sunday the 26th of October. October is a month full of saints, there were 14 of them last week, but this coming week everything suddenly goes quiet. The only saints in the general calendar who are celebrated in the final week of October are the apostles Simon and Jude, and even they are pretty obscure. About Simon, we know just one fact. About Jude, we know at most three. Simon, we know, was called Simon the Zealot. That's all. Jude, we suspect, was also called Thaddeus. That's one fact, if it's true. Second fact, he was not the same person as Judas Iscariot. And the third fact, it is quite possible that the Apostle Jude was the author of the Epistle of Jude. Not certain, but possible. And that's all. The church has gone quiet this week as if she were drawing breath ready for something big. And she is. If you want a horrible picture of the same kind of thing, here it is. You are at the seaside and the sea begins to withdraw. Back and back it goes, exposing more and more beach and even the seabed itself. Then you get up, leave everything and run for the hills because a tidal wave is coming. This week in the calendar, the tidal wave really is on its way. It arrives at the end of the week on Saturday the 1st of November, the Feast of All Saints, when we don't celebrate just this saint or that saint, but all of them at once. Saints canonized and saints uncanonized, saints remembered and saints forgotten, saints we know everything about, saints we know nothing about. On All Saints Day, we can all celebrate the saints who are usually only celebrated by particular groups of people. Think of St. Alfonso Rodriguez, whom the Jesuits celebrate on Friday, or Blessed Maria Teresa Tauscha on Thursday for the Carmelites. On All Saints Day, we can celebrate the saints about whom we have forgotten almost everything except their names. Think of St. Otteron on Monday. He started his career at Meath in Ireland and finished it on the island of Iona, where he died in 548. After they became Christians, the Vikings took a liking to Otteron, and in 1096 they made him the patron saint of the city of Waterford. We don't know anything else about him, but that doesn't matter. We know enough. We trust our forebears who venerated him that they didn't get it wrong. In other words, we trust history. We trust the Holy Spirit. And if we aren't in Ireland and don't keep Otteron's feast day on Monday, we can celebrate him on Saturday along with all the other saints. All Saints Day means all the saints for everyone. Nowadays, canonization is a pretty rigorous process and it demands lots of facts. Historical inquiries are set up and everything about the person is thoroughly investigated. We absolutely don't want to get it wrong. So even slight doubts are enough to hold the whole thing up. For instance, take Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was canonized last month along with Carlo Acutis. His cause was held up for many, many years because of malicious gossip, not even about him, but about some of his friends. It took his mother going and explaining things to the Pope to get the process unblocked, and even then it took decades. So, on All Saints Day, we can celebrate all the saints who were never canonized at all, because there wasn't enough documentation, or there was too much argument about them, or because there weren't enough people able to spend days and days preparing a good case for their canonization. Finally, on All Saints Day, we can all celebrate the saints who are completely unknown. They did great good. They lived their lives for others. They gave their lives for others. But it was all long ago and far away, and the news never reached us. Jesus wanted to set the world on fire, and we look around and the world isn't burning, and it's a great disappointment. But in heaven it is, and on All Saints' Day we can celebrate the glory of it. It is all glory. One of the best expressions of that is the Te Deum, the hymn of glory which comes into the office of readings every Sunday and on feasts and solemnities. You can find it in Universalis if you ask it for one of those dates. Here is some of what the Te Deum says about the saints. The glorious choir of apostles, the noble ranks of prophets, the shining army of martyrs, all praise you. Yes, the Te Deum is right. We absolutely ought to rejoice about this, because the glory of the saints is the glory of us all. But we do need to be a little careful with this idea of saints as glorious heroes. It is too easy to reason in the following way. All saints are heroes. I am not a hero. Therefore, I am not a saint. In terms of pure logic, this is a perfectly valid mode of reasoning. You can ask any undergraduate. But in actual truth, it is wrong. Thinking I am not a saint can take you in the wrong direction in two ways. It can lead you into depression, or it can lead you into laziness. Depression, you can just curl yourself up in the corner and say, I am a dead weight and no use to anyone, so it's not worth trying anything. Laziness, you can plod quietly along, living an ordinary life, neither too good nor too bad, just not trying, instead of waking up and being the splendid someone that God meant you to be. It isn't my place to be holy, you say, with a kind of false humility, not realizing that what that really means is, it isn't my place to be fully me. That's not true. Being fully you is exactly what you are created for. The creator of the universe could easily have created a different universe which had the same stars in it and the same galaxies in it as the one we live in, everything the same, in fact, except that it didn't have you. He didn't. Unpacking the Genesis story of the sixth day of creation, every single thing mentioned in it is directly intended by God and intended because it is good. That includes the animal world. That includes mankind. And it specifically includes you. You are here because you are intended. You are here because you are wanted. You are here because if you feel like it, you can become a saint. Saint you. But not if you think that all saints are heroes. In that bit of reasoning, all saints are heroes, I'm not a hero, therefore I'm not a saint, the conclusion was bad because the beginning was bad. Look again at St. Alfonso Rodriguez. He was no hero, but he was definitely a saint. He was called to be someone, and he was that someone. Alfonso Rodriguez was a Jesuit. Now, we know what Jesuits are. They are an intellectual army. They have 10 years of training, longer than soldiers do, or even doctors. Their training is so intense and all-encompassing that they don't even call it training, but formation, because they're being formed the way that one forms shapes out of clay. Jesuits are everywhere. If you look for the most authoritative history of the whole of Western philosophy, a Jesuit wrote it. If you believe in the Big Bang, a Jesuit thought of it. If you think of the Big Bang as being the moment of creation, a Jesuit has warned us not to. If republics are set up to protect South American natives from the colonists, Jesuits turn out to be behind it. In the days when kings and queens had a conscience and a confessor to look after it, as likely as not, the man behind the curtain was a Jesuit. So we know what the Jesuits are. They are about intellect, and they are about power. And then there's Alfonso. Alfonso had to leave school at 14 to keep the family's wool business going. 18 years later, he tried his vocation. He was too uneducated for it. He tried to study, but he couldn't. There was no way someone like Alfonso could become a Jesuit, except that the Jesuit provincial who was in charge of these things knew when to make rules and when to break them. He said, but after all, why not? And made Alfonso a lay brother and the porter of the new Jesuit house on the island of Mallorca. There he remained for 46 years. You automatically think, same job for 46 years, what a loser. You think, a porter, where's the achievement in that? Don't underestimate porters. Yes, porters are not responsible for teaching. Yes, porters are not responsible for discipline or organisation or anything except opening doors and shutting them. In fact, porters are not official persons at all. What that means is that in every institution, the porter ends up being the one who knows everyone, unofficially, and everything about them, unofficially, therefore truly. Through all those years, Alfonso was there for everyone. He watched everyone being trained and growing into their vocation and working out what God wanted them to do. And because he knew them and because he was always there, he could be their mentor and guide. That famously obstinate Catalan, Peter Claver, went off to Colombia to be the slave of the Negroes forever because Alfonso knew his desire and encouraged him in it. He must have touched many other lives in the same way in his 46 years of service, though we'll never know who they were. Without the Alfonsos of this world, there wouldn't be the Peter Clavers. Never look down on the porters in your life, but listen to them. And you, if your life brings you into contact with many people, regularly, in an unofficial kind of way, don't look down on yourself because it isn't a heroic job. Like Alfonso, say, "I'm coming, Lord," every time the doorbell rings, and it might be God waiting out there on the doorstep. Ask Alfonso if you can be people's guide the way he was a guide to the people he met. He will help. The wider picture is this. "I am not a hero" is never a valid reason for saying, "I am not cut out to be a saint." You are cut out to be one. The saint you are cut out to be is you, not anyone else. Saint you. We have many, many saints now of all sorts of different kinds, but the one saint we don't have yet is specifically you. Now here's an exercise I've thought of for all saints. Probably other people have thought of it before. We spend much of our spiritual lives recognizing we are sinners. We are taught to think like that. We examine our consciences. We confess our sins. We scrub ourselves clean in confession. All that is valid, but perhaps it is one-sided. The last few days in London it has been grey and wet and dark. The mud-coloured light has barely crept in through the window panes. But today the sun came out and the sun poured in, and looking at the window I could see all the splotches and streaks on the glass, which showed that it needed a good clean. I have always wondered why the great saints seem to make themselves out to be such great sinners when quite clearly they aren't. But I think this sunshine has shown me why. When everything is grey and murky and there is no real light, then you can't tell the difference between clean glass and dirty glass. But when the sun comes pouring in, then you see every spot and every smudge, and you want to get up at once and clean it all. So here is the exercise. On All Saints' Day, let's not accept the murk. Let's imagine the glory of God shining in through the window of Saint Me. In the light of that glory, all the spots and streaks of every tiny sin will show up clearly. But what we will see most of all is the sunshine, and what we will feel most of all is the sunshine. And it is the sunshine, the glory of it, that will make us want to get up and clean that window. On All Saints' Day, instead of simply trying to work at not sinning, imagine what Saint You would be like. Imagine what the light and glory of God, refracted through you, would come to look like. Then you will see, without even having to think about it, that sin is not part of you. Then you will see that sin is getting between being you as you are at this moment and being the real you. Then you will want to get rid of sin, not because sin is bad, but because sin is unreality and it is holding back your reality. There might be a little risk involved in this exercise. If you have the right combination of ego and laziness and I don't know what else, you may see yourself as genuinely glorious, and in your prayer you may find yourself congratulating God on having made a creature as perfect as you. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, where the Pharisee congratulated God in just that way on a job well done, while the publican said nothing more than, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." But we do also have the rich young man. We remember the story as him going away sorrowing because he couldn't bring himself to sell all that he had. We forget the beginning of the story, which was him being good and right and proper and without sin, obeying all the commandments, a pillar of the community, the sort of man whose name would be inscribed nowadays on the foundation stones of all the art galleries and opera houses in the city. And still he knew it was not enough. In other people's eyes he was good, and he could see why. No false humility there. But he also knew that he was a small fraction of what he was meant by God to be. On All Saints' Day, remember that your potential value is infinite, because it is. Remember how far you fall short of that infinite value, and you won't be congratulating God or worshipping yourself. You'll be itching to get up and clean those windows. That's all for this week. If you'd like to write to us about anything, send an email to universalis@universalis.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a good week in every sense, and let's pray for one another.